All right, get ready for a deep dive, folks,
Yeah.
because today we're tackling a case that might just make you rethink how far responsibility actually goes in the eyes of the law. Like, imagine, just picture this. You're a business owner, right? And you're doing everything by the book.
Okay.
But then one of your employees, they make a mistake.
Yeah.
And not just any mistake, a really serious one.
Oh, wow.
But here's the thing. You had absolutely no idea this was going on.
No clue.
Totally in the dark.
And you could still face criminal charges.
Could you, though?
Yeah, that's the question at the heart of this landmark case, State v. Guminga.
Okay, so State v. Guminga, a Minnesota Supreme Court decision.
Exactly.
And this has some pretty major implications for criminal law.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Regulatory enforcement, constitutional protections.
Especially for business owners out there.
So set the scene for us. What happened in this case?
All right, so picture this.
Okay.
1985, an undercover sting operation.
Undercover, I like it.
It's going down at Lindy's restaurant.
Okay.
A waitress serves alcohol to a minor, right?
Big no-no.
Obviously a violation, you know. But here's the twist. The owner, Mr. Guminga, he was clueless.
Wait, so he had no idea?
Totally unaware, didn't know, didn't consent, nothing.
And they still went after him?
Oh, absolutely. They hit him with charges under a Minnesota law.
So under this law, employers are criminally liable for what their employees do.
Yeah, for their employees' actions, even if they don't know about it.
Oh, why?
And we're talking serious penalties here.
Like what?
Jail time, up to a year.
A whole year.
And a hefty $3,000 fine.
Wow, that's steep. That's incredibly high stakes for, I mean, he didn't even know what was happening.
Right.
So what were the legal arguments here? Like, how did they even try to justify that?
Well, the case ended up going all the way to the Minnesota Supreme Court.
Obviously.
It really came down to this question. Can you really punish someone for a crime they had no part in?
Right, just because they're the employer.
Exactly, just because you're the employer.
That seems wild.
So the court, they had to figure out this balance, right?
I see.
Between, like, the public interest, which in this case was preventing underage drinking.
Sure.
And individual rights. Specifically, the right to due process.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what did they decide?
Did they go for this whole holding the employer responsible thing?
Yeah.
They actually sided with Guminga.
Oh, they did.
They ruled that the Minnesota law, it was unconstitutional.
Unconstitutional, wow.
Yeah, and their reasoning, it was crystal clear. They said no one.
Okay.
No one can be convicted of a crime, especially one that comes with jail time.
Right.
If they didn't commit it, if they didn't know about it, or if they didn't consent to it.
It does make sense. I mean, it feels really unfair to punish someone for something they literally had nothing to do with.
Exactly. It just doesn't sit right. And the court, they made this super important distinction.
They
said, all right, civil penalties,
okay,
like fines, you know, license suspensions, that might be acceptable for the employer in these kinds of situations.
I guess, yeah.
But criminal punishment.
Mm-hmm. A row.
Especially jail time. That's where they drew the line.
That makes sense. So what was the deciding factor in, you know, making that distinction?
Well, it all comes down to this idea of mens rea.
Mens rea.
Which is just Latin for guilty mind.
Guilty mind, okay.
Basically a cornerstone of criminal law.
So to be guilty, you have to intend to do something wrong.
Exactly. To be guilty of a crime, you need to have the intent to commit that crime. And in Guminga's case, he had zero intent.
Right. He didn't even know.
Didn't even know what's happening.
Yeah.
Punishing him.
Yeah.
That would be a total violation of due process.
Due process, you mean like that fundamental fairness idea?
Exactly. That basic idea of fairness.
So Guminga, he's off the hook, no mens rea.
Right. He's in the clear because he didn't have that guilty mind.
Case closed. Right.
Well, not so fast. There's a little more to the story.
Oh.
We had a dissenting opinion in this case.
There was.
From Justice Kelly.
Interesting.
He actually disagreed with the majority ruling.
Okay. So Justice Kelly, he thought Guminga should have been held responsible.
He did. His argument was that liquor licenses,
okay,
they're a privilege, not a right, granted by the state.
Okay.
So in his view, that justified holding the owner accountable, even if they didn't know.
For anything their employees do.
Pretty much. You take on that responsibility when you accept the license, is how he saw it.
Interesting. So he basically thought the state's interest in controlling liquor licenses was more important than the owner's individual rights.
Exactly. He put a lot of weight on that state interest.
And what about the jail time? Did he have any issue with that?
He didn't think a short jail sentence was unreasonable.
For something the owner didn't even know about.
Yeah, especially given the potential harm of underage drinking, you know? He felt strongly about that.
So this brings up a pretty big question, right? How much weight should the state's interest carry? Especially when it comes to potentially impacting individual rights.
That's really the core of the debate here. And the Gumenga case, it really shines a light on that tension.
Between those two competing interests, yeah.
Exactly.
It doesn't seem like a simple black and white issue.
Absolutely not. There's a lot of nuance here.
And that's what makes this case so fascinating, I guess. So how did this case, how did it impact things legally speaking?
Oh, it had a huge impact. I mean, Gumenga sent shockwaves through the legal system.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, it changed how we think about vicarious liability.
It did, especially when we're talking criminal law.
Yeah.
It really limited the use of vicarious criminal liability, especially when it comes to that jail time.
So after Gumenga, it became a lot harder to hold someone criminally responsible for what their employees did, even in those really regulated industries like restaurants and bars.
Exactly. And it's interesting to see how this ruling, it probably shifted enforcement, like towards civil penalties for these regulatory violations.
So instead of going for criminal charges, they might focus more on like fines and license suspensions, those kinds of things.
Right. Administrative actions, that sort of thing.
That makes you wonder, though, like, could those civil penalties be challenged, too? I mean, Gumenga was all about criminal punishment. But due process, that applies to everything.
Right. That's a great point. It's a brilliant question. And you're absolutely right. Due process is kind of across the board.
So even fines and license suspensions, those could be challenged if there's no proof the owner did anything wrong.
Absolutely. I mean, the underlying principle is that any penalty, whether it's civil or criminal, it has to be fair.
Right.
It can't just be arbitrary. There has to be some connection to what the person did, or at least what they knew.
That makes sense to me. But wouldn't this make enforcement really hard? I mean, how can regulators actually hold businesses accountable if they have to prove, like, individual fault every single time?
It's a tough question. There's no easy answer. I mean, the courts, they're always trying to balance competing interests, right? You've got effective regulation, you've got the rights of individuals, and then you've got the practicality of it all. Like, how do you actually enforce this stuff?
Seems like this principle from Gumenga could have implications way beyond liquor licenses.
Yeah.
I mean, think about all those heavily regulated industries, healthcare, finance, environmental protection. I mean, the list goes on.
Oh, for sure.
So could we see Gumenga's logic being used in those areas as well?
It's definitely possible. I mean, if we really take the logic of Gumenga and apply it broadly, it makes you think about any situation where you're holding someone liable for what someone else did, especially if they didn't authorize it or know about it.
But couldn't you argue that in some industries, like, the stakes are just so high that strict liability is just necessary? Like, what if a company is polluting the environment or a hospital is putting people's health at risk? Shouldn't the owner, the person in charge, be held responsible regardless of whether they knew about that specific violation?
I mean, those are definitely valid points, and they highlight this constant tension between preventing harm and making sure that individuals aren't punished unfairly. It's a tough balance to strike.
So how has Gumenga specifically impacted other areas of the law? You mentioned that shift towards civil penalties. Can you give us some concrete examples?
Absolutely. One area where we've seen a pretty big impact is in workplace safety regulations.
Okay.
Specifically those enforced by OSHA.
Okay. Workplace safety.
Yeah. After Gumenga, it became much harder to hold company executives like criminally liable for workplace accidents.
Okay.
Unless prosecutors could show that they knew about the dangerous conditions.
So it's not enough to just show that they were in charge?
Nope. Yeah. You've got to demonstrate some level of personal culpability, like they knew or they willfully ignored safety rules. And we've seen this principle play out in environmental law, too.
Okay.
So companies can still get hit with big civil penalties for pollution.
Right.
But it's tougher to go after executives with criminal charges unless there's evidence of, like, intentional wrongdoing or gross negligence.
Sounds like Gumenga really upped the ante for prosecutors.
Definitely did. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It forces them to be more careful, more focused on those cases where there's really strong evidence that someone is at fault.
It seems like this also puts more emphasis on prevention and compliance. If businesses know they can't just use that I didn't know excuse,
yeah,
they're more likely to actually make sure they're following the rules.
I think that's a key point here. The legacy of Gumenga isn't just about protecting individuals. It's also about promoting a culture of compliance, making sure businesses take responsibility for what they're doing.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into State v. Gumenga, what's the big takeaway for our listeners, especially for those working with businesses in these heavily regulated industries? What should they be thinking about?
I think the big takeaway is this: due process, individual responsibility. Those are fundamental in our legal system.
Okay.
They're not just abstract ideas. They have real consequences. They affect how we regulate businesses, how we hold people accountable, and in the end, they shape what kind of society we have.
A fair one, hopefully.
Exactly, a just and equitable one.
And Guminga is a good reminder of that, even in this crazy, complex world with all these regulations.
Partly.
We can't forget those core principles of fairness.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why Guminga is still so relevant today, even though it was decided years ago.
This deep dive has definitely given me a lot to think about.
Me too. It's such a fascinating area of law, and it's constantly evolving.
Yeah, with new challenges, new technologies.
Right, exactly.
Speaking of those new challenges and technologies, where do we even draw the line? What are the limits of what Guminga established? Could there be situations where strict liability is still the way to go, even for civil cases?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
Guminga definitely changed things.
Yeah.
But it didn't completely get rid of strict liability.
Oh, so there are still areas where it applies.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially when you're talking about things that are super dangerous, like ultra-hazardous activities or products.
Okay, so give me an example.
Sure. Let's say you have a company that's handling radioactive material, something like that.
Okay, high risk.
And there's an accident. They could still be held liable.
Even if they did everything by the book?
Yeah, even if they took every precaution. Because those activities are just inherently risky, you know?
Yeah.
Even with the best intentions, things can go wrong. And the potential for harm is so big that strict liability, it makes sense, you know, to keep the public safe.
Yeah, it's like you're acknowledging that some things are just so dangerous. You can't just rely on proving fault to prevent harm.
Exactly. You need that extra deterrent. And it brings up some really interesting questions about how these ideas apply to new technologies.
Okay, like what?
Like, what about self-driving cars?
Ooh, good one.
Or AI systems, ones that are making decisions that could have huge consequences.
Yeah, if a self-driving car causes an accident, who's to blame?
No.
The owner, the company that made it, the programmer who wrote the code. I mean, it gets complicated quickly.
It really does. And Guminga, even though it was decided so long ago, it gives us a way to think about these new challenges.
Yeah.
It reminds us that even with all this new tech, we can't just abandon fairness and personal responsibility.
Absolutely. So for our listeners, for those who are out there navigating this legal maze, what are the key takeaways from State v. Guminga? What should they really remember?
The most important thing to remember is this: due process. Individual responsibility. Those are the cornerstones of our whole system. They're not just ideas. They have real-world implications. They impact how we regulate businesses, how we hold people accountable, and ultimately, I think, they determine what kind of society we build.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Guminga is a great reminder of that. Even in this complex world, we have to hold on to those fundamental values.
Well said. It's been great diving deep into State v. Guminga with you today. It's really fascinating to see how it continues to shape the legal world.
I agree. It's a case that really makes you think. It forces us to ask these tough questions about fairness, accountability, and the limits of government power. And who knows? Maybe one of you listening will be the one to take these ideas even further. The next landmark case, pushing the boundaries, making us redefine what justice means in this ever-changing world. Until then, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.